This is BPNradio.com, and you're listening to Marketplace Saturday, where business leaders go to grow. Marketplace Saturday is designed for the entrepreneur, employee, or student that's looking to grow, learn, and become more today than they were yesterday. Now, here's your host for Marketplace Saturday, Rick Gentry.
Hello, everybody. This is Rick Gentry, all the way from Austin, Texas, and I'm here today to talk with a special guest. I want to invite everybody to listen every Saturday from 9 a.m. till 12 midnight on Marketplace Saturday right here on bpnradio.com. If you'd like to host your own show or have a spot on BPN Radio, please contact me. I'd love to hear from you at rickgentrybpnradio@gmail.com. Or send me a text or call me at 214-918-8707. My special guest today, all the way from Georgia, is Dale Allison Jr., and he's going to be my special guest, have a lot of incredible information today that he's going to be sharing with us. And he's been a personal friend of my dad for many, many years. He serves as a consultant to Breakout Ministries as well. And Dale has spent over 25 years as a practicing attorney specializing in tax-exempt nonprofit corporations before moving to the mountains of Georgia. No longer in active practice, Dale remains involved in the life of the church as a strategist and a consultant for the church in the latter days. He is a graduate of Southern Illinois University and the University of Illinois Law School. A former prosecuting attorney in the state of Illinois, Mr. Allison taught in a Bible college for over 9 years. He's an ordained minister of the gospel and has a Doctor of Ministry degree. The main areas of concern for Dr. Allison include the implementation of godly government in the churches, setting forth God's position in the creation of proper articles of incorporation and bylaws for churches, as well as protecting the religious freedoms and God's position from their erosion by the courts and the government. He displays a genuine concern for all pastors and the churches they oversee, as he foresees the day when the government will turn against the churches. God has shown him that only those churches which are properly organized in God's form of government will survive. Dr. Allison currently serves as consultant to many of the fastest growing churches in the United States and Canada, as well as major religious broadcasting stations and evangelistic associations. His unique style and delivery has gained him a reputation as an excellent teacher in seminars and conferences all over the world. Welcome, Dale. Good to have you on BPNradio.com. How you doing today?
I'm doing well, Rick, and it's good to be with you.
Yes, sir. We really appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule. I know that you have a lot going. We'll just get right into the questions, Dale. Tell us how you started working with churches and how that all came about, please.
Well, as it was noted in your intro, I was an attorney in Illinois, and I came to Georgia for an evangelistic meeting, and the result of that was that my life got turned around 180 degrees, and I felt like that the Lord was instructing me to move, and I did end up moving, brought my family down here to Georgia, and I was offered a position as an in-house counsel to the Evangelistic Association that I had come down here for a meeting. And during that period of time, the principal minister of the Evangelistic Association was out and traveling, And he went to a number of churches and found out that there was a lot of problems. He came back and talked to me about it, and I began to spend some time not only in the Word, but also with the law to see what was going on with the churches. And eventually I started working with a couple of individuals who happened to be like the butler with Joseph, opened some doors for me, and the Lord blessed our efforts, and it just sort of rolled from there. And I've been doing that since late 70s.
Wow, that's incredible, Dale. Well, why don't, if you don't mind, do you have a website or an email address you'd like to share with our listeners today, how they could contact you? I know you're busy, but if you're taking on any more churches, that might be outstanding.
Well, we have a website, churchproblemsolver.com, and that's our website. We try to do both a little spiritual teaching as well as trying to keep people up to what's going on. Some telephone number is area code 706-745-1359. And so if anybody calls, or if they can contact us through the website, and we we'll be glad to talk with them about whatever problems have popped up.
Well, we appreciate that, Dale. Well, you're listening to BPN Radio today. I'm Rick Gentry, talking with Dale Allison in the great state of Georgia. Dale, my next question is, tell us why you use scriptures in the articles and bylaws for churches.
Well, there's the principal reason is that, at least right now, we still have a First Amendment that tends to protect religion. And so one of the things that when we get to a point of putting scriptures in our in the articles and the bylaws with regard to matters that we want to be involved with or actually are involved with from a ministerial standpoint, it gives us a position to speak the Bible in the courtroom that is not going to be allowed otherwise. If we think back many years ago now, at the trial of Jim Baker, with the old PTL, one of the things that happened to him was that he made an effort to defend himself with regard to the way the ministry had operated their finances and such. And he was trying to use scriptures to defend himself. And the judge in that particular case said, hold a minute. Is this in your organizational documents? Is this in your bylaws?
Right.
And, of course, his answer was no. Those were not in there. And so his situation was simple. If you don't have it in your articles and bylaws, I'm not going to let you talk about it. And so one of the things that we have, if the church is being sued, one of the best witnesses that one would have would be the pastor, if he can speak from a scriptural basis. He's one of the worst witnesses that you have if he can't. And because he's used to dealing with scriptures. He's used to sitting down and counseling with his parishioners and sharing with them what the Word of God has to say. And he's using in chapter and verse to back that up. Well, when he goes into court, if he doesn't have those scriptures available to him, then he has to speak just regular secular language, and he's not used to that. And he, some of his points he can't make because the faith aspect's been taken out of it. And it always made me wonder why a church would hand out a statement of faith and never have scriptures attached to it.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed to me like if you're passing out your statement of faith either to a visitor or to someone else while you're doing evangelistic work, what better track to have than to draw them to those scriptures upon which you base your statement of faith. When you find yourself as a church, you're talking about you're building your church on the Word of God, yet you don't even list a scripture. You know, how difficult is that? It just shows that the church says they're building it on scripture, but they obviously are not.
Mm-hmm.
And overall, there's a great penalty that could happen. If a judge can shut you down because you don't have those scriptures, he has to let you talk when you got them. So it's a way that the church can adequately defend itself if it has to. But it also provides a great evangelistic tool when you hand out your statement of faith, because if people want to check and see are you telling them the truth or not, it forces them into the Word of God if they follow up on your scripture references, and who knows what God can do once somebody gets in the Bible.
Amen. That's great. Well, what do you see as some of the problems or challenges that churches are having today besides that, Dale? Give us a couple of things that might help pastors.
Well, we've got several things that are going on now, especially with some of our state governments. Over the past decade or so, the federal government has cut back on a lot of the monies that they have provided in the past to state governments. So the state governments consequently have cut back on the monies they share with the local governments. And local governments, most of which get their tax revenues off of real estate taxes. And we know that in most states, churches, at least with regard to parsonages and houses of worship, have been in the past been successful in those things being removed from the tax rolls. And so it's a great benefit to the church. But over the years, as state governments have lost some income, they begin to look pretty close. And a lot of states, even though they have the exemption, have tried to narrow that exemption down. For example, many times a church would go out to the edge of town and buy a 40-acre tract, and they'd put their starting church there on about a 5-acre tract, but the entire 40 acres were taken off the tax rolls. Now the state has come in many instances and has basically said, what are you doing with that remaining 35 acres? We're either leasing it out to a farmer for him to be like a sharecropper, or just to lease the land so they can grow something on it, or even pasture cows. Well, then they take that as that has become a commercial property, and so they make the church pay the taxes on that 35 acres. So church has to be cognizant of being able to use that additional 35 acres in a way that keeps it in line with the statutory provisions. Another thing that's going on, and that just depends on the way the church sees it, but we've had an influx of, in several states, of same-sex individuals wanting to get married. And so they've walked into several churches, have asked to be married. Many of the pastors have said they can't do that. That's against their religious beliefs. And it has caused several lawsuits, and in some states that have a special civil rights committee, it's even caused churches to be brought in. And again, when you look at that, how does a church defend itself if they've never, if they have nothing in their articles and bylaws reflecting on that, if they don't have a proper marriage policy or a use, what would we call a facilities use agreement that has to do with who they will lease the property to and who they will allow to come in and use their facilities for marriage, then they're constantly going to have a potential of litigation against them. So they need to look at what they've got going on to be able to sit back and say, you know, what do I need to do that would at least protect my church? That if I'm faced with that, what is the policy of the church? If you have a policy, then you need to have those policies in place. You need to have your articles, if not certainly your bylaws, created in such a way that, that you can stand on that and you can tell the judge, this is our position, this has been our position forever, and therefore we just don't feel comfortable in being put in a situation where we have to violate the Word of God. But if you don't have those in there, again, it makes it difficult for you to be able to stand up before a judge and say, this is our position, and we're, it's a strong position with us. And he goes, well, it must not be that strong because you don't have it in any of your documents.
Hmm.
So those are areas that I know we're going to be challenged in, the loss of potential tax exemptions. I mean, right now, we've got a situation going up in Wisconsin where the district court has already ruled against the housing allowance, which personally has affects a lot of ministers. It's going now to the appellate court. Once they make a determination, I am sure, regardless of what determination they make, whether they affirm the lower court or they choose to override it, one of the two parties that are involved in that litigation will probably seek to go before the U.S. Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, it's up to the Supreme Court whether they'll take it or not. If they do take it, then we can expect a decision that will either affirm the housing allowance or it will terminate it. And for years, ministers have enjoyed the provisions in this, in the statute that allows them to secure a housing allowance, which at least from an income tax standpoint is tax-free. It's not tax-free from Social Security. So if a minister is involved with Social Security, has been paying his Social Security, he'll still be responsible for paying his Social Security on housing. But it's tax-free from an income tax standpoint. And you can see with regard to churches, all of a sudden a minister is faced with potentially still getting a housing allowance, but it's now going to be taxable, both from an income tax and also from a Social Security standpoint. So it church is going to have to resolve those issues as well, which may need an adjustment with regard to the compensation that they give to their senior pastor and pastoral support staff.
Right. Well, Dale, this is incredible information. We're going to be watching that case closely for sure. You're listening to BPN Radio here in Austin, Texas, with Rick Gentry on Marketplace Saturday. And my special guest today is Dr. Dale Allison. Just has a wealth of knowledge and information. And Dale, tell us one more time what your phone number is so pastors can contact you or even business people that are working with churches.
Sure. It's the area code is 706-745-1359.
Okay, I appreciate that. Dale, I know that this this program is going by very quickly, and we'd like to have you back for part two for sure in the near future. I have a couple more questions for you.
Sure.
Where do you see the church in 5 years? I know that that's kind of a two-part question, because the churches that have prepared themselves will probably look quite different from the churches that are unprepared. But kind of give us an overview there, please.
Yeah, I think that we've got several churches who have chosen, for whatever reason, to not really continue to stand on the Word of God. And I think that is critical for our church today. Part of the reason, I believe, is that churches have looked out and they feel like that they need to reach out to a group of people that we know as the millennials. And they feel like teaching the Word of God the way they have always taught it is not producing, pardon the phrase, it's not putting fannies in the seats.
Right.
And so therefore, they've changed their style. They've changed their praise and worship. They've updated some things. For want of a better word, they've become entertainment oriented.
Mm-hmm.
And the bad thing about that is, if you start leaving the Word of God behind, then why are you calling yourself a church? You know, you might as well just call yourself an entertainment center and a place for people to go on Sundays or Wednesday evening just to have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not one that thinks that you have to go in and look somber and sober and not be able to laugh and have an entertainment. One of my favorite pictures of Jesus is the one where you see him basically roared back in laughter, because I think he wasn't serious all the time. He was God, but he was also a man. And
yes,
I'm sure with a bunch of guys hanging out, he had a chance to laugh and cut up with them, and they had various things that went on in their travels that they thought was humorous, and he certainly was able to do that. So I'm not a stickler for looking at a church that's all drank dill pickle juice. I think it's a chance to be able to provide laughter, but also to be able to give the Word of God, and that's the important thing. The last thing you want to water down is the Word of God. And I think those churches that do, yeah, they may put some fannies in the seats, but they're not going to have the overall support. And when it comes time for a testing, they're going to come up short.
Right.
And consequently, so are their people. You know, we've always looked to see who's leading a church. There's only two types of people that lead a church. There's a hireling. That's somebody who a church is paying to come in, and they're not concerned about the sheep. They're concerned about themselves, their personal ministry, and the way things look. Hirelings don't give up their life for the sheep.
Right.
That's reserved to the second group that pastors, and that's the shepherds.
Mm-hmm.
And the shepherds give up their life for the sheep, and they want to make sure that whatever they do, when they walk away, they've done everything possible to educate, to bring those people to a relationship with the Lord. And those are the people who are going to be successful. But they're also the ones who have to sacrifice. And in today's world, we know people don't appreciate sacrifice. They don't want to sacrifice themselves. And so they can't understand it. If there's going to be a sacrifice, you want the other guy to sacrifice, not you.
True.
And the bad thing is that you lose your ability to be a shepherd if you're not willing to sacrifice.
Hmm. Dale, that's incredible teaching. I'm already thinking about next time, Dale, just listening to you. I know I'd spoken to you on the phone several times, but never really heard you speak till now. Very exciting. I'm speaking with Dr. Dale Allison in the great state of Georgia. This is Rick Gentry with BPNRadio.com. And if you would like to host your own program, it's a 30-minute program. Once a week, every Saturday, we'll give you a time. We start at 9 a.m. We run to midnight. Just contact me, please, 214-918-8707. And before we go today, Dale, I did have a couple more questions, but I'll catch you next time. I'll catch you next time. What I think would be incredible if you would just pray for businessmen and businesswomen. And I know there's a lot of business that goes on with the churches, like you were saying. You have to take care of your business to have a ministry. And that's the way it is. There's, like you were talking about, the paperwork, the bylaws. And so Dr. Allison can help you. If you're a businessman, you can speak to your pastor, let them know about Dale Allison. I know he's been serving Breakout Prayer Network and Dale Gentry Ministries for many years. And I know that my dad just thinks the world of him and his expertise. So, Dale, pray us out, please. Thank you, sir, for taking time to be here today. And God bless you.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity, Rick, to be with you. And then just a quick reminder before we pray is that Jesus said he had to be about his Father's business. So obviously there is a business component that that God's looking for people in his kingdom. And I think one of the great aspects of being in the kingdom is those people who are in business. And for those people, Father, we just ask for your special anointing on those who have reached out, those who have made the sacrifice to step forward, to be able to come in and put themselves at risk, because there is a risk when you're in business. We ask that you bless the time that they have spent. You bless the time that they're able to spend in their business as they reach out to various individuals. They provide products for those of us in the kingdom and are able to touch each and every one of us, not only with the product that they make, but also with them doing exactly what your word has said, that they in their own customer service reach out and touch and treat people the way they would like to be treated. We ask for a special blessing on them and upon their family. We ask that you pour out a blessing upon them, that you strengthen them, that you give them the opportunity in their own businesses to be evangelists for you, to be able to share, whether it's actually speaking the word or whether it is being able to just reach out and touch, and through their actions and through the life that they live, that they're able to touch the lives of other people and for them to see the love of Christ throughout that endeavor that they have and throughout their business and their contact with individuals, because they are an evangelistic arm of the church just by being in business and by being able to touch the lives of so many people, many of whom may not ever know Christ other than through the businessman or woman that they deal with. So for that, Father, we thank you and we praise you, and we ask this all in the name of your Son and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Dale Allison, thank you, sir. Have a wonderful day. This is Rick Gentry with BPNRadio.com. Have a good day.
Thank you, Rick.
Bye. You've been listening to another special edition of Marketplace Saturday, being heard throughout the day here on BPNRadio.com. Keep listening for another special show here on Marketplace Saturday with your host, Rick Gentry. You've been listening to Marketplace Saturday. Thank you so much for joining us. Have you enjoyed what you've heard? Maybe you feel like you need to be a part of it. We'd love to hear from you. Send us a message at Rick Gentry, BPNRadio@gmail.com. This is Marketplace Saturday, where people go to grow.